on the internet at kboo.fm, or maybe you're listening to us on Spotify, or maybe it's 9:30 in the morning on a Wednesday in Portland, Oregon, on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM. This is Culture in Motion, your twice monthly show where my co-host Ryan Danley and I talk about the intersections between art, culture, music, politics, and activism. What's up, man?
Not too much, man. How you doing?
It's Father's Day on the month of Pride in the pandemic on the solstice, right after Juneteenth. So there's a lot of kind of symbolic stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, like, I kind of like, I'm like, this year I'm kind of not even like messing with Father's Day. My kids are out and I'm good with it. Like, they're, you know, my daughter's been going to Pride all the last Father's Days anyways, and which is like, I'm super stoked about, and I'm just glad that, you know, she's out there. And you know, like, for me anymore, it's like Father's Day is just about like what kind of brush am I clearing for them, you know? It's not about me, it's more about them and what I can do for them. Being dad, like, I mean, like, I dig it. It's been easy. I like it. Like, I got an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old, and my daughter's doing really great, and my they-them kid is, they are just wicked awesome. And so it's just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't spend too much time worrying about me being a dad, and especially with everything going on in this world. So I'm just glad that I've had the opportunity, you know?
Real talk, give thanks, man. And that's just, I just want to take a nap today. That's all I have. So that's about to happen after the show. But we have a very special guest today. Shrista Tyree, what is good?
What's up? What's up? How you doing? How y'all doing?
I'm good.
I'm happy to have you on Culture in Motion.
Yeah, let's set it off. I ain't got the Queen Latifah braid, so I ain't setting it off.
So you're a comedian and a hip hop artist and a entertainment manager of sorts. You manage some artists too, right?
Yes, I kind of do a little bit of everything.
Okay.
I guess my main focus is just being an entertainer. So I'm an entertainer, comedian, rapper, activist, and yeah, I do some management and consulting on the side.
Right.
Mainly hip hop artists, but I'll take anyone, honestly. Anyone who's like a startup business is what I focus on, is startup businesses.
Well, you and Ryan are both do stand up. You know, you're both comics. Is that the correct term? Does it matter?
Comic, comedian, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Yeah, so that's something I wanted to do for a minute, but I haven't figured out how to make time. How did you get started in comedy, Shirs?
Man, starting comedy actually was honestly really random, because I did not grow up like really watching comedy. I didn't really grow up watching, like, listening to hip hop. I didn't do a lot of those things. I was just like, honestly, outside playing. So I never really was into TV or music. So it's kind of weird that that's what I do now. But I would post online. I just posted like some funny roast videos. I don't even remember who I was roasting at the time. I think it was like Ronda Rousey and then Chris Brown. And I just dropped them and people were like, hey, you're kind of funny. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then one day someone was like, you should try stand up. I've been to stand up shows in Portland. I think you can honestly like do it. And I was like, really? And literally after that person had said that, I would say like, probably like a month later, I was just like, whatever, I'm gonna try it. And so I wrote a set and I performed it 2 days after writing it, never doing stand-up ever, never really watching stand-up ever. And so I just wrote this set and I went there this guy named Hijinx was actually hosting it. And I show up, and at the time I didn't know mics were like 3 minutes. And so I'm thinking like a set, because that's all I was thinking in my head. And so I wrote 15 minutes. and somehow I memorized it. I got through it. I did bring notes on stage, but like I did a whole 15 minute set, and like Hijinx was like, bro, you don't do 15 minutes on your first thing. It's 3 minutes. She's like, but it's since your first time, get up there, man. I jumped up there and for some reason I was funny and like people were actually laughing. I didn't know like half the people, but then I also brought probably 20 people in there, and so it was just like I just got a really good reaction. And it's never like, but it's never, it was never something I ever wanted to do or ever thought of. It was just one day I decided it and I ended up being good at it. And that day I actually got booked for a comedy festival from Hijinx, the first annual Black Comedy Festival, And I got booked for that. And by being booked for that, I ended up just meeting a ton of comedians. And so I kind of, in a weirdest way, I got lucky that I got booked for a festival. I didn't even know what that meant at the time. I had no idea. And I showed up to the festival 1 week after starting comedy. I did the same set, got a pretty good reaction. And then, yeah, and from there, it's just like everyone met me, everyone saw my set. And so comics started networking with me to get me on their shows. And I guess that's my little stand-up story. So I didn't do, like, I just did one open mic. And I didn't actually do open mics after that. So that's what people talk stuff about with me, is that I don't really do the open mic thing. I just did that one time. And since then, I just, not to be on anything like cocky, it's just I write and I just know it's funny. And so I would, the last 2 years, I just wrote and performed. I didn't write, go to open mic to test it and perform. I just wrote and performed. And for some reason, it worked. I never learned like the breakdown of comedy. I never learned about toppers, tags, like the threes, all that at the time. I'm just learning it right now because I'm at this point in my stand-up career where I learned a ton of stuff and I'm done with all my first stuff I wrote. I learned it. I learned a lot, so I trashed it all. And now I'm just trying to write new stuff right now and kind of see what my real, like what my voice is, what it is, because I don't know what it is because I was kind of all over the place at first. So I guess, yeah, I'm excited for the growth. But yeah, I had no idea what I was doing. But recently I met up with Chris Johnson and I've just been talking to him about comedy and how to write. And it's funny that I'm learning there was a whole formula and I had no idea there was a formula, but I knew there had to be because doing hip hop, I'm learning there's all this formula to everything. And so like I met up with Chris Johnson, he's kind of showing me this formula, showing me all these things. And so now I'm like, okay, let me do my natural writing on top of actually learning how people write. And so now it's just kind of, we're gonna see what happens. We're gonna see what happens. And we ain't got no open mics really besides like Zoom and stuff, but stuff's opening. So I'm assuming maybe I could try this open mic thing people talk about.
Yeah, you can come up and hit me with them open mics. It'll be fun. It'll be yeah. So there's some good ones going on right now. There's stuff happening.
What I've been hearing.
It's getting going. You know, so yeah, there's been a lot. You know, there are certain folks out there who really ride that who have that natural funny thing, and you know, and like Jinx and that word, like he's really good at like nurturing that natural funny thing. Like for me, yep. I gotta write strong because like when people see me, like I ain't like funny. You know what I mean? So like I gotta like prove it to them that I got some funny things to say. I get up on stage, so like they're like, did the beer delivery guy get lost? You know, and you know, like that's the focus. But like, if you have that, you can get up there. Cause like you, you got a good. So I've seen you. I think I saw you on the Smut Show with Johnny Taylor that one time. Were you on that show?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Throwback.
Yep. Yeah.
That was my third show ever, actually.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and you killed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no idea what was happening.
Yeah, yeah, and that was with Johnny Taylor, who's a good friend of mine, and. Yeah, I was stoked to see you out there and doing it, and you were bringing kind of your own thing, so I really like that. I'm glad you're on the show.
Comedy's kind of brought me into, I think comedy is what brought me into hosting too, though, because what I like about hosting is that I can be more free. What I don't like about stand-up is like how it's so, I feel like it's boxed in, because I like to just talk and get off task. With stand-up, it's like you have to stay in your lane, you have to tell this whole story. With hosting, it's different because I can tell comedy within it and I can still get way off task. I don't have to be stuck on this. I'm doing a stand-up show. All right, just get through your set, next person's going up. It's like I get to be up there all day entertaining. And for me, that's just a lot of fun. I like making jokes, I like making fun of people. But yeah, hosting is kind of low-key my favorite thing. I'll say that on record.
You'll put that on record?
Hosting is also where I started rapping. When I started hosting hip-hop events, I wasn't hosting comedy shows at first. I was hosting hip-hop events. When I was doing those shows, I noticed when I was hosting, like, I feel like there wasn't enough hype as the host. Like, yeah, we can say, hey, put your hands up, do all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But I just felt like it wasn't it. Like, it wasn't the right hype. And so I decided as a host to start making songs. And since I was mainly a comedian at the time, I wrote a couple funny songs to open up every rap show with. So that's how I started rapping. So I just literally would open every single hip-hop event I did. It didn't matter if it was my show I produced or someone else's. They are about to have a rapping host, whether they knew it or not. And so I would rap before every hip hop show, and then I'd get the crowd all crazy. And I said, the show, this host is wild. I can't wait for this show. So, yeah, I would just rap before every event. And then it got to a point, like I think a year or two go by, and people were like, wait, so are you a rapper? Where can I find your music? And it, all mine were parodies. I was like, you can't find it nowhere. I just wrote that for fun. And then I wrote a couple that were beats from people so that I could post them. But still, they were just funny songs. And so I ended up just, that's how I got into rapping. And then recently I dropped a serious song, which no one was used to because I was dropping all these comedy songs. But I dropped a song called Black Girl. And it was just a song I wrote because I am doing a lot of BLM stuff. I'm very invested in BLM. My best friend Jedi is one of the lead protesters. So he's got me more involved. And so I've done a couple shows with him and performed at them. I've spoke at two of them. And so when I was at these shows, I was like, man, I feel like I need to have an activist song, because all the other speakers, people were speaking, we had North Jordan, we had Jedi, and they were speaking and then they were doing rap songs. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know this was also hip hop. And so I was just like, I feel like with hip hop, you can really express yourself and you don't have to overly explain things. And so like you can say one bar and people can just figure out what you meant. And so I was like, you know, I think this will be my opportunity to really speak out how I feel about the BLM movement, how I feel about a Black woman growing up. And so I dropped this song, Black Girl, to empower Black people, to empower Black women, and to make light of what's happening right now, what's happening with BLM, what's happening in the world. And so I just took that chance to make that song. And I knew when I was gonna drop the song, it would get attention. I do not have that much bars. I don't got bars like that, but I know I have a platform. And because I'm aware of my platform, I decided I wanted to write the song, and I knew people would listen because I have a platform where people actually listen, people actually engage with things I'm doing. So I dropped the song, and that honestly, I think that song is what made me really realize, like, I need to get into music. Like, I need to stop sleeping on myself and actually pursue rap as well. It's always just been like a hobby. It was never anything I took serious. But after dropping Black Girl, just kind of opened my eyes to everything in general, just like in the world, in my own life. Because in that song, I just speak about when I was sick last year, and I was pretty much, long story short, I was discriminated against in the hospitals. And because they weren't listening to my pain, I found out I was dying 7 months after I've already been dying. And it took me going into these hospitals and pretty much telling these surgeons, like, bro, listen to me, something's wrong. And they ended up listening finally 7 months later. And then I went through a whole lot of stuff the last couple of years just fighting for my life. But fighting for my life really just opened my eyes at the same time. Like, I always heard YOLO, you only live once, and never really meant nothing that much to me. And now, like, I look at it as in, you only live once, so chase every dream, chase everything you're good at. There is no reason to be sitting back and not chasing it. And when I was sick, and like, they told me I had like an 80% chance of living, so I wasn't really like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. But at the same time, all I thought was, oh my gosh, there's so many things I didn't accomplish. And like, I got something that was very rare already. So who knows if I'd be that 20% that's gonna die. So I had like this hardcore PTSD and stuff about like dying. And so within all of that, all I thought was, what am I good at? What am I sleeping on? What am I not taking serious with myself right now? And it made me also like, it just made me realize like I never pursued music. With stand-up, I never tried. I just, for me, I felt like I was just going, and I never stopped to try to actually learn stand-up. And people are celebrating my comedy when comedians aren't, because they know my writing isn't the greatest writing, but like everyone else is celebrating this, and I just felt like I didn't even give it my all. And so like coming out of being sick and coming back as a survivor, all I think now is like, I'm about to go hard. I'm about to actually try and stand up. I'm about to actually learn the writing process. I'm gonna talk to people who I think are some of the best comics here in the city. I'm gonna figure out what I could be doing better. And then with music, it was the same thing. I was like, I'm gonna drop an EP. Everyone's been saying it. Everyone's been joking about it, but like, might as well, let's drop it. Let's see what happens, because YOLO.
Yo, so I had to ask you, sometimes being an MC, especially those of us who come from more old school tradition, we can freestyle. So we can get up and improvisationally rhyme from the top of our heads. When I fantasize about getting into comedy, I'm like, could I freestyle a set? Like, does that happen?
We call it riffing. I'm still learning all the vocab.
Yeah, it's called riffing. And yeah, you can do it. I mean, some people are Some people are really good at it. There are people. I mean, AC O'Neill just kind of jokes around a lot. He's a great comic, local comic guy. Came up around the same time I did. He's a good person. There are people who are really good at that. Like, just have like that personality to handle that.
And I feel like they more do it with like crowd work. If you're gonna, it's not like you're just gonna talk and be funny. I don't think anyone just talk for an hour and tell punchline after punchline.
Right.
But crowd work riffing, I feel like Jake Silberman?
Yeah, Jake Silberman is like,
I think that's really him. Yeah, he does like just tons of crowd work. I'm like, amazing.
He's got a whole hour long special just doing crowd work.
Yeah, I would assume. I was like, there is not a Portland who does do that.
Right.
I'll say, at least with riffing for me, I always riff every set because I don't know if I got ADD, but that's also why I host. Like, I cannot stay on topic. I always get off. And I kind of like that. I like being off topic. So it's kind of been my thing. But every set I do, I have certain sets where I don't actually have anything written for that. I kind of just like have a punchline and then I just throw random stuff in every show. And so if you ever watch my sets, you'll notice there's something randomly new in it. And it's always usually off of some type of crowd work. But even with riffing or freestyling, as you said, it just comes with time. Because when I first started, I would never riff. I was like, oh, I'm never getting off topic. I'm not going to try to, I don't want to forget anything. Mm-hmm. So I didn't respond to crowd members. And then people who knew me got annoyed because I'm like, I always got something to say. Mm-hmm. And people would heckle me. Like, I got a couple hecklers when I first started and I just didn't respond. I pretended I didn't hear them because I wasn't quick enough with the punchlines back then. I didn't have that type of confidence to like hit you back with a roast. Or hit you back with something.
I give hecklers, like I give the whole crowd like such a mean stare when I get up there. that like if somebody heckles, I'm like, you're just taking it into your hands here, man.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I was like, no. But after time, it was like, I think like I started hosting more hip hop shows, and then when I was doing stand up, it just made me more comfortable. And then it's like I feel like I just always riff. Like I did a show for the Portland Mercury at the Oaks Park and I did 10 minutes of written and then I did 10 minutes of riff where I just had some topics I wanted to discuss.
Yeah.
And usually I can just be funny as long as I have topics. So I actually just memorized the 5 topics I want to talk about, brought them up and just talked smack about them. And then I just had reactions because people were just like, you crazy, I can't. Like it was more of an opinion. It wasn't even stand up. Like it was actually more of an opinion of different topics, but like it was still funny. So like people thought I was doing stand-up, people thought I actually wrote that, and I actually improv the first 10 minutes. And then my second 10 minutes was all my written. And so it just brought it back as if I was doing stand-up and I tricked everyone. But I actually like riffing, but I've figured out that if I have topics, I can just tell an opinion, just like a podcast or a radio show or something. And so I've changed up my stand-up, but yeah, I just throw in opinions. I also rap in my stand-up. I guess that kind of makes me different in Portland, at least. I don't really know anyone else who raps during stand-up sets. I know some people do music, but yeah, I rap on mine, but I feel like mine's pretty lit, though. Mine are funny.
If they want to find both your comedy and your music, where can they find that?
Man, I actually am really good at posting all my stuff, so my YouTube has everything. So it has all my comedy, has all my music videos. Only got like 2 for rap, I mean. But I got a lot of comedy videos on there. Like I got a couple comedy music videos I made. And I got a lot of my roasts. I actually have like all my old stuff. So when I first started, I just was like, you know what? I'm just gonna post this so I can have it. So I got stuff from like 2 to 3 years ago, just trying to be funny, like roasting. It's not even good content, but I just like to see how far I've gone.
Sure.
But with music, it's on all streaming platforms. So Spotify, all that.
How would they spell your name, Shrista?
Shrista. It's Shrista Tyree at this moment. But I'm changing it to Shrista actually in like a month. So it's gonna be Shrista.
Shrista is Shrista.
Boom.
Yep. Okay, so and then also, when do you have any upcoming events?
Let me think. Well, right now I'm taking a 60-day break because I'm literally trashing everything. I'm trashing all my comedy, I'm trashing all my music, and I'm just taking all the game I've learned in the last 2 years and applying it. So at the moment, I'm trying not to take any shows. I do have something planned with Chocolate Dope. We're going to do a vendor pop-up and a comedy show, actually, in, I think, September. So that'll be around when all I should have all my new material. Hopefully, I'm still funny. Hopefully, I'm... Man, we'll see what happens. It's crazy because I went through, like... When I was sick, I was also an alcoholic. And so while being sick, because I had a PICC line in my arm and they're giving me meds to stay alive, I had to quit alcohol. And like, I quit alcohol. And when I quit alcohol, I just felt like I wasn't funny no more. And I thought, that's how I know I was alcoholic. Cause I was like, oh my God, all my funny's gone. I have to stop drinking just so like to save my life pretty much. And so I had to stop drinking. And so while I was sick, yeah, I was at home the whole time. So I wanted to write and I wanted to do all those things. And I just like thought I lost my funny. I was like, my funny is gone. I don't got it no more. So I've kind of actually just been out of it the last year and a half, just thinking I'm not funny and just trying to get through like recovery, honestly, like trying to live life as a sober person. Like it's different because I've been drinking probably since I was 12 years old. So it's just, it's so different now. And now I'm like, I feel like in a completely different person, like from quitting alcohol to surviving a car accident to surviving a deadly infection. I'm just a different person to a point where like none of my music resonates with me. None of my comedy resonates with me. And so performing it is really awkward and it doesn't feel like me. And I perform comedy. I did a stand-up show at Oaks Park. The set went well, but it was the most awkward set I've ever done because I was talking about the old me. And I was just like, that isn't even who I am anymore. And so it's just really awkward. So I just, for right now, I just am not going to take any shows because I don't feel like I'm me. And so I'm trying to create me right now. So we're in the moment of Trista, of figuring out, finding Trista. There we go. So right now I'm finding myself. But yeah, I'm liking the music I'm figuring out right now. The comedy I'm writing, it just feels more real and more authentic, more genuine. I don't know who I was 2 years ago. Like, and when I look back, it just, I don't even know where I was in my head mentally. Like I was all over the place. And I feel like just a better person, a stronger person. Cause I was kind of a butthole. I'll say that. It's kind of a jerk. I would say surviving some stuff humbled me. And also you get to see how many people are really there for you. Right. That was like, I thought I was going to be all alone in it. And it was just like, so many people reached out. So many people came to my house. So many people were sending gifts for, and it was like a year I was sick. So it's like, I didn't know people were going to be there for me. So it's different, but yeah, as of now, I have some shows in September, so hold on.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and chilling with Ryan and me on Culture in Motion. Your story is inspiring, you know. I'm really happy to know you and have opportunities to collaborate on projects.
Heck yeah. We gonna get it. Likewise. I was like, we could talk forever, man. Don't get me started. We could talk forever. But it was nice. It was nice getting that out. I feel like that's another thing. Like, I feel like I've never been that personal. I feel like I don't open up. I was so closed off. But that was the old me. Now I'm like, all right, you guys thought I was blunt before. Now I'm just like blunt and really open. And I'm excited for the world to hear it, though.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Culture in Motion, to our listeners. Ryan, have a good day, brother.
Yeah, you too, man. Good to see you. I'll see you out there on the battlefield.
Yeah, see you out there. Thanks for having me, guys. We'll be right back.
That thing so beautiful.
Da-da.
She just hit my heart, oh.
Da-da.
Full force, and she got me like.
Da-da.
I be like,
da-da.
Baby,
da-da.
Why you so fine?
Sublime, super fine, she was never lying.
her strutting in the heels or her slides. Either way, eyes on her every single day, week, year. Everyone wondering how she does it with no fear. All that confidence, was it heaven sent? Does it come within? Does it come run out? I don't know. She'll just have them running out and in. Man, they want to sin, talking deadly sin with Mrs. Lady. I don't understand why she hit them like.
Listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM online.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Good in the Hood Multicultural Festival from Saturday, June 26th to Sunday, June 27th from 3 to 7 p.m. streaming online. Good in the Hood is a family-friendly, multicultural music, arts, and food festival that connects people with resources and experiences to strengthen unity in the community. Again, that's Good in the Hood Multicultural Festival on Saturday, June 26th and Sunday, June 27th from 3 to 7 p.m. streaming online. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.